The following program is paid for by Shoreline Wealth Management. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Townsquare Media, its affiliates, or advertisers.
Welcome to Shore Time. It is Shore Time with Vin and Dave. Vin Avenue, Dave Crossen with you as we get going here in the month of April. Hope your April Fool's Day jokes weren't too bad yesterday. And for those who were on the other end of April Fool's jokes, hey you
it's
lit.
That time of year.
You're here to laugh another day, right?
Exactly. So,
although it would be funny, I guess, if you had it during a weekday, right? You could play some office pranks.
Oh, at the office, without a doubt.
It's on a Saturday. I mean, like, the only people you could prank
members.
Is family and friends.
Yeah, so. That's it.
Although I'm sure people, you know, went all out anyway, or
yes.
Did like that. I don't know. Does it still count as an April Fool's joke if you do it on March 31st?
I don't think so. I mean, you could do it. Nobody's going to stop you, but
March 31st,
does it count?
Fools.
Exactly.
It just doesn't have the same ring to it. It sounds
absolutely
weird.
Absolutely not.
I can't say that I've ever been on like the significant end of an April Fool's joke.
I was just thinking that as we're talking about it.
I feel like I've, you know, done some, pranks over the years, you know, just all in good fun and stuff like that, but not necessarily on April 1st. I don't know. I feel like there's just like a lot of pressure with an April Fool's joke.
Well, the problem is,
it's like you want to come up with something good.
Everybody's looking for it. You know the day. You're like, okay, if I hear something or see something that doesn't seem right, well, probably isn't. There's something going on there. There's some mischief of some sort. I don't
or you
know.
Think that nothing's going to happen, and then you're like super tense and tight, and then all of a sudden, boom, there it is.
Or to your point, you're tense and tight, and nothing happens, and then you just spent the day being stressed. And we
over nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, for those of you who couldn't think of a good enough one or didn't think of one yesterday, you got a whole nother year to think of a good April Fool's joke. Just start jotting them down now. And, you know.
Well, people could reach out to us and say, hey, here is what I did.
Yeah.
Or I heard this or that. And this is what happened.
Practice your April Fool's jokes over the summer.
Exactly.
And then, you know, if you feel like they're good enough and they stick.
There you go.
Bring
you got
it out
something.
April 1st of next year.
There it is. We're going to start early. We're getting ready, prepare, and then next year will be tremendous.
Well, we got a whole year to plan about
that.
Today, show number 61.
61. Do you have a player? What do you got?
Well, technically, Yankees spring training, I forget what year it was. I think 2011 or something like that, give or take a few years. Billy Crystal wore number 61.
Okay.
Had one at-bat for the New York Yankees. It was against the Pittsburgh Pirates. He ended up striking out.
Uh-huh.
I think he brought the count to like a 1-2 count, though, and then he just kind of whiffed.
Okay.
But it was an honor because he was, of course, the director of the movie 61.
That's true. That's right.
Billy Crystal, big Yankees fan.
Yes, he is.
And I'll say 61 is one of my favorite baseball movies of all time.
Okay.
The way Billy Crystal put that together,
oh,
the acting
really
cast
good.
In there. I mean, it kind of brings a tear to your eye if you're a baseball fan with just the story of the 1961 season. Roger Maris, Mickey Mantle,
right.
One of the greatest baseball teams in the history of the game as well. But that was great. And then, of course, you know, Roger Maris hitting 61 home runs, breaking Babe Ruth's record in 1961. And there was the asterisk that surrounded it, designated by Major League Baseball, by the commissioner's office. I believe it was up until 1989. When Faye Vincent took that asterisk away, said, hey, the record is what it is.
Right.
Even if it was done in a few extra games, it's a clean record. It's 61.
That's true.
And unfortunately,
clear.
Roger Maris had passed a couple years prior to that, 1985, without ever knowing that the record was his. And then, of course, Aaron Judge broke Roger Maris's record last year, hitting 62. So Judge is the all-time American League holder.
Right.
And depending on what side of the fence you're on, Aaron Judge is the all-time Major League leader, or Barry Bonds,
that's true.
And Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa passed him up.
there's the debate, okay?
You know, which is it? Aaron Judge did it the clean way. Bonds, Sosa, McGuire did it using some performance-enhancing drugs.
Correct.
So, but 61 is still a great number, and if you haven't seen the movie, it came out in 2001, I believe it was. 2001, but it's an absolutely phenomenal baseball movie, so if you haven't seen it, you got to check that out. Today is show 61 of Shore Time.
And we're on the baseball theme, kind of.
And
we're
there is no asterisk
yes.
with our show.
That's true.
It's legit. It's
a clean 61.
Dave and I are here
it's
legitimately. Mm-hmm. We did it the right way.
Yes, we
you
did.
You know, we work out hard in the gym during the week.
We started at show number one and
take
we
our
counted
vitamins.
It out to 61. There you go.
Crank out each at bat.
Right.
You know what? It's exciting. We got a new baseball season underway. Two New Jersey natives are playing for the Yankees.
That's right.
Ron Marinaccio, the relief pitcher from Toms River, Toms River High School North graduate, had an unfortunate end to last season just with a freak injury, and he kind of missed the playoffs, and the Yankees definitely missed not having some guys in the playoffs last year, Marinaccio being one of them, because how good of a bullpen arm he is.
Right.
So he'll be there this year. And then the exciting news that happened last Sunday after they played their final spring training home game, or second to last, because they played Monday as well, Anthony Volpe.
Mm-hmm.
He is a 21-year-old from Watchung, New Jersey.
Yes.
He grew up in born in Manhattan, but then the family moved to New Jersey,
to
so he grew up in Watchung. And he's going to be, he's here. I mean, he earned it, had a fantastic spring training. Going into it, a lot of Yankee fans and even those following the team thought it would be Oswald Peraza, who came up with the team last year. Peraza is going back to AAA for some more seasoning, but Volpe tore the cover off the ball and
yes,
played phenomenal defense. And one of the notes that picked up along with that, the last 21-year-old to start at shortstop, you know, I was looking this up before the season, and I saw when Volpe got picked that the last shortstop to start opening day for the Yankees was Pequannock, New Jersey native,
Pequannock.
Derek Jeter.
There you go.
In 1996.
I didn't know he was from Pequannock.
Born in Pequannock, and then I think when he was like 4 or 5 years when he was like 4 or 5 years old, he moved to Kalamazoo, Michigan, with his family.
I gotcha. Okay,
but his grandma on his mom's side was a huge Yankees fan.
Sure,
and she got him Derek Jeter into the Yankees. Derek Jeter's father was a big Detroit Tigers fan,
mm-hmm.
and Jeter said, "Oh, you know, you can't root for the same team your dad does as a kid." But obviously, they're all Yankees fans now. But it's some fantastic stuff. There's been maybe a handful of Yankee players in the history of the franchise who have been this young and have
right.
been on the opening day roster.
Big deal.
So we'll see. Volpe is their Yankees' top prospect. They sent Jason Dominguez, nicknamed the Martian.
Okay.
Who is their center fielder of the future. They got a lot of young talent there. Now, the Yankees started off the season with some injuries. Carlos Rodon, their pitcher they got in the offseason, is out. They hope he'll be back by the beginning of May. Luis Severino hopefully will be back in a couple weeks, and then the rotation will be a little bit more whole. Frankie Montas out probably until August or September with a shoulder injury. And then they got a couple bullpen arms they're waiting now for, Dave. Tommy Kahnle among them, and Lou Trevino. But those guys should be back by May, and the Yankees have a fantastic offense. So they got some things to work out here, and we'll see if they end up making trades. They've got a very diversified roster with guys that could play all over the place, including Oswaldo Cabrera and apparently Isaiah Kiner-Falefa now. So I'm excited.
Man.
It's an optimistic season.
Yes, no, you should be.
The Yankees started Thursday against the Giants. They wrapped that up today, and then they play the Phillies for three at the stadium before hitting the road. And this is a season going in where you're optimistic. Yankees, I believe, can win the AL East. The Toronto Blue Jays will be right there neck and neck, I believe. And if the Yankees stay healthy, they have one of the best pitching rotations in baseball once they get that wholesome. And I think they have a
Don't
legitimate shot at winning the pennant and the World
pitching right
Series.
Now, you know, Diaz
Meanwhile,
and what happened. Yeah,
in Mets land, there will be no trumpets unless you're playing MLB The Show
okay,
and you're pitching with
okay.
Edwin Diaz. But as good of a rotation as the Mets have, Dave, and I'll let you take the wheel. It's your team. But
okay.
It is an older rotation,
it
and
is.
That
it
is what concerns me.
A lot of money was spent.
If Verlander and Scherzer and everybody else, they stay healthy and they do their thing,
oh, yeah.
they could do some damage. And they got
agree.
They got a pretty good lineup. But you know what? That's a tight division. The AL East for the Yankees and the NL East for the Mets. Phillies just went to the World Series.
Yes,
they retooled, including with Trey Turner. They're going to be scary good.
Oh, yeah.
The Braves have a lot of young talent. They're going to be really
yes.
good. So it's going to be, at the very least, a three-team race. And the Marlins,
I think
will be a little bit better. Uh-huh. They're not going to compete with those three in the Nationals. They're just going to have a season where that's going to be very good.
This is where I take a deep breath, and it is what it is, especially after last year and how we finished up and didn't win the division there. That was tough.
Yeah.
But it's a brand new year. I'm excited. Love this time of year. Love my Mets, as you know, and we're going to take it from here. And that's all I'm going to say. That's it. Yeah, that's my entire routine on the beginning of the season.
Everybody's got like this excitement beginning of the year, like, oh, my team's going to do this, or my team's not going to be that great, but it's going to be fun. Then all of a sudden they surprise and win a wild card spot. But it's the excitement of opening day and opening week. Like the first week or two of the season, you're like, you're really pumped up. Whatever team you're rooting for, Yankees, Mets, Phillies, Dodgers, whatever. But you're like, hey, you know, it's a new baseball season. It's fun to watch baseball. And, you know, the fun thing about baseball season, I mean, unless you get off to an awful start.
Right.
You don't really have to worry about like, oh, man, if we play really badly right now, we're not going to make the playoffs. Like, relax.
Well, look
you
what
got,
happened.
It's a six-month season.
Look what happened with the Mets. The Mets were on fire. But then look at the Braves. They got hot, and the Mets ran out of gas, and the Braves, right at the end there, the Mets had their opportunity. So,
oh, the Mets should have won that division.
I am aware. But that's it. You know what? Here we go. The best of luck to the Yankees.
Yep.
Best of luck to the Mets.
There we go.
We'll see you in the World Series. Mets in six. Thank you very much. Bye, everybody. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Would you be willing to put a bet on that?
Not right now.
I mean, I'm sure Mets fans are optimistic that Diaz can come back at some point in the season.
But
I think
hope
he's
so, yes.
done for the year.
Right.
He's got
That'd
a torn ACL. That's a brutal injury to come back from.
Right.
But, you know, if somehow it happens, good for Mets fans.
Exactly.
And good
but
for the Mets.
Beauty is... Here we go. We have baseball. I just enjoy the sport.
Yeah.
Of course, I love my Mets, but you know what? This time of year.
Got good broadcasters with the Mets.
We have the best.
You
have to admit we have the best in the business, radio as well as TV. Come on.
Listen, I'm a big fan of Keith Rad, who's now joining Harry Rose in the booth because I did work some games with Blue Claws and met Keith last year while he was with the Brooklyn Cyclones. Mets have great radio and TV.
Oh, without a doubt.
I think the Giants have the best TV.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike Grucco and everything. So the Giants have a really good TV team. The Dodgers have a really good TV team and radio.
I think the Mets, if you look it up, I think the Mets are ranked number one. Just saying. Take a look. Everybody Google it up.
Oh, it's an opinion ranking.
Everything's an opinion when it comes to you know broadcasting.
There's no facts behind that.
Well, I think, if you Google us, the two of us here, we're the number one at this time slot, right, on Sunday morning. So there you go.
Sunday morning entertainment right here at the Jersey Shore. I look at it from a baseball perspective. I have a lot of play-by-play and color analysts that I really like listening to TV or radio-wise across the game, either from the regional broadcast or the national network.
Doesn't it, in my opinion, with baseball? Because for a lot of people, watching baseball at home can drag out a little bit boring at times. Where if you have a good announcer,
right,
and play by play, and you know Keith Hernandez. I love my Mets, but that add different aspects. You know, Ron Darling on the pitching side, Keith. You know, the fielding first baseman, and then Gary Cohen with his ability just to add the life, the play-by-play action of it. It changes it, where if it was very dull and, you know, again, I'm not going to name names or announcing crews that I don't think are great, but it does make a big difference.
Yeah.
I will say, I'll put it this way. When the Mets are not on SNY and they have a national game, I'm like, oh, don't like it.
It depends on who's calling it
I don't like it. I like my SNY, I like my coverage, but when they have the national game, it's not the same experience. I mean, obviously I love the game, but
some of them do their homework and research with the local guys, but on a national stage, Matt Vasgersian is one of my favorite play-by-play guys. He does some stuff for MLB Network and out with the Angels broadcast. Dave Sims is the Seattle Mariners TV play-by-play guy. He's absolutely amazing.
But wouldn't you agree, though, it does make a big difference?
Yeah.
It's just because the game can, you know, drag out a little bit.
Good play-by-play guys. You want good color analysts that add something to the game.
Correct.
And I think David Cohn and Ron Darling, David Cohn for the YES Network and ESPN and Ron Darling for SNY and TNT or TBS, they just add what you want in a color analyst.
Correct.
And I love listening to those guys.
Oh, yeah.
Ron's done games with Brian Anderson, who's the Brewers TV play-by-play guy, but Brian Anderson's the TBS play-by-play guy. He's their lead guy. And hearing those two guys call a game together is a lot of fun.
beauty is, you know, with Ron once, you know, assuming the Mets don't take the next step and SNY's coverage is, you know, finished for the year, Ron does get the call to go to the National Games for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Speaks to his talent.
So we got Michael Kane on TV and John Sterling on radio. John will be, I think John Sterling's turning 85 this year.
Wow. Okay.
I read that he's only going to do 130 of the regular season games out of the 162. And then Justin Shackle reportedly is going to do the other 32 radio games for the Yankees. Sterling still wants to, and then Sterling will do all the Yankees playoff games as well because he wants in on that.
Why wouldn't he?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Michael Kay will get most of the YES Network games on TV. Ryan Rucco is a good backup. Ryan Rucco also does some basketball for ESPN. So
that's here, good. Here's my question:
play-by-play guys,
what sounds better when there's a home run? See ya. Or back to the wall. It's out of here. Come on.
I actually prefer John Sterling's calls.
Wait. How's he doing?
That's the end of the Yankee victory. That's not
Yankees
a home run.
Yankees lose. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, the Yankees win.
Nobody says that. Sterling's got a great call. And it's, sometimes it's all in a call, too. If it sounds forced, then it sounds fake.
Right.
You know, when you find your home run call, you stick with it and you roll with it. And
oh, absolutely.
People love it.
All right. So, Vin, obviously you do games, baseball games. When there's a home run, what do you say? What's your tagline?
Goodbye.
Okay.
I go with the call. Sometimes it's just with how it goes. You just kind of go with the play. But it usually ends with a long goodbye.
Okay. Give it to us. Let me hear it. It's heading over the wall,
Vin. Have to tune in.
Okay.
You know what? I'll see if I could find one while we're on break and play it for you guys.
Okay.
But, there's a lot of great baseball crews and everything like that across the game, and that's the beauty of even watching something like MLB Network where you get to hear other local broadcast crews, you know, where they bring in the feed and stuff like that. There's a lot of great crews out there. I'm trying to draw a blank on a couple of the names, but yeah, a lot of good play-by-play guys that I love listening to.
But you think the Giants, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the Giants have the best TV booth in the game.
Okay.
We'll simmer on that.
I will listen.
And then by the end of the show, we'll give a ruling.
Right. Please reach out to us. Let us know what you think.
The San Francisco Giants have the best TV booth in the game. Local broadcast.
I don't know. Okay. I'll let you have that opinion. It's okay. Just for this morning.
It's as a baseball fan. I love listening to those guys call a game.
Okay.
So.
All right.
But nobody could beat the legend of baseball broadcasting, Vin Scully.
Oh, of course. There you go.
Late, great Vin Scully.
I will give you that. I will absolutely give you that.
We've got the great Dana Lancelotti joining us on the other side of this break. Dana Lancelotti will be joining us to discuss everything that's going on with restaurants, businesses, hotels, and so much more. The
perfect
state of the industry right now as we're heading through spring and looking ahead to summer. And it's, you know, Dana, we're having her on for the third time now. This is her third appearance on Short Time.
No, and the timing is perfect.
Yeah. So Dana Lancelotti joins us next. More Short Time of Vin and Dave right after this on 94.3 The Point.
Hi, this is Southside Johnny from the Asbury Jukes, and you are listening to Short Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point, and I'm in the Hall of Fame.
Let's face it, investment concepts and financial planning can be very intimidating and confusing. Shoreline Wealth Management addresses that feeling head on. Their goal is to educate you while offering financial advice without buzzwords and jargon. Shoreline includes you in the process and makes you comfortable every step of the way on your path to financial freedom. Shoreline Wealth Management is your financial anchor. Visit shorelinewealth.com for more information today. Shoreline Wealth Management, with offices in Manchester and Manahawkin. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC.
Hello, this is Chef David Burke on Short Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. And if you could see us, you'd know the three of us have perfect faces for radio.
Welcome back to Short Time with Vin and Dave as we get going here and get moving along on the first Sunday of the month of April. And with spring a couple weeks in, eventually it'll start feeling like that more long term. We're looking ahead to what's to come in the spring, the warm weather, the outdoor temperatures, and then certainly down the line in the summer. And somebody to help us look ahead is Dana Lancelotti, president of the New Jersey Restaurant and Hospitality Association. Here on the show, Dana, by the way, Dave and I were talking about this beginning of the show. You're our first third-time guest, so you're the record holder.
Wow. All right. I'm honored. That's great.
So third time's the charm.
Yes. Hopefully.
Yeah. We'll have some fun. We'll make laughs. And then, you know, anybody who says it's not good out there, well, we don't need to worry about them.
We're just going to talk positive, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Now, right?
Jersey Shore, Sunday morning, you know, we're together. We're having fun. We're talking some Jersey Shore businesses and restaurants and hotels and everybody. So before we dive into some of the challenges in the state of the industry, so to speak, some of the good things that are happening here, just want to pick up quickly off the bat here, get your reaction to some an important but odd piece of legislation in some circles that is starting to make its way through Trenton and certainly bringing up some debates here. The idea of getting rid of banning plastic utensils, restaurants, takeout facilities, and so much more. What is some of the things that you've been hearing off the bat? What are your thoughts just on what this would do to restaurants and businesses who would, you know, it's a cheaper alternative to give out plastics?
Well, you know, we absolutely have to be conscious of conservative means to support the environment and to make sure that we're not being reckless in the way that we conduct business, for sure. And we've done a tremendous amount across this industry over the past couple of years, converting to the new bags and not using the plastic bags anymore, and then the straws, and not including straws within the package, but only giving them if they're asked for, or even in the restaurant, you have to ask for the straw. And that's certainly been imposed, and people have been compliant, and it was a lot of work to make those changes. And certainly there is expense involved in converting the way that you normally do business. But to add this on at this time, it's sort of just another one of those things that, you know, the timing for one thing is not good. There's an awful lot, like I said, that they've already taken on as far as monitoring the use of plastics. But then to add in for fast food restaurants, particularly to about silverware just doesn't seem to be feasible at this time, and it seems to be something that's a little bit extreme, to be honest. Also, you know what you have to think about too is in general, we're talking about fast food places and things like that, but we're also talking about the shoreline and the piers and the food that's on the boardwalks. Do we really want to find silverware in the water parks or in the sand? You know, we really don't want people stepping on silverware, because if they're not able to get plastic utensils, then they're going to be encouraged to be bringing silverware or getting that and taking that in any place that they, I mean, it just doesn't seem to be something that would work right now. And quite honestly, overall, this is just another thing. It's another thing where there is intervention by the government, where really this should be businesses being encouraged to be responsible and conservative. And organizations like ours are able to do that. We can be the voice of that. We can tell our industry, please remind them to please be conscious of conserving the use of plastics, and wherever possible, please ask. Don't throw a whole ton of plastic utensils in a bag when you're given takeout. Maybe ask the question, train your staff. And I think that makes a big difference. I think it's a matter of allowing people to take charge of their own business. And we really need to be more supportive of their ability to thrive.
And to go off that, I mean, with just the expense part alone, what are some of the biggest expenses that restaurants are facing right now? I mean, certainly this is a proposed legislation with the plastic utensils and everything, but there's already the bag legislation out there, and then the straws as well. But those included, and anything else, what are some of the financial challenges that restaurants across the Jersey Shore and really across New Jersey are facing right now with All right. How much can we order? When can we order it? And then trying to factor in any supply chain issues along the way.
Yeah, that's very true, too, because when you buy things, you're buying them in bulk. So if you are buying plastic straws to keep on reserve, you're buying a whole bunch of them. So so they're staying in boxes somewhere because you're not using them as much as you were. And the expense of the cardboard and the alternative types is something they need to worry. They need to consider. So, you know, once again, they also have to worry about the fines. If they make a mistake or if someone is able to grab a straw and they didn't realize that they could access it, you know, they could be hit with a fine. So it's just an awful lot of things to be putting on the businesses that are not encouraging them, but making them feel constantly concerned about every move that they make.
Are those some of those similar challenges affecting any businesses or even hotels that would hold fundraisers or events, parties and stuff like that? I mean, is it a similar kind of challenges for anybody in the industry with and not just, you know, utensils or anything, but with anything that they have to order supply wise to make sure that they have what they need to be there for people coming in and dining, for people going to their business, for people having parties at the hotels?
Well, a lot of hotels do rely on takeout as well. If they don't have a full service restaurant on site, they work in partnership with local restaurants, which is very helpful to that compatible, you know, business economic health of the area, is when businesses are working together to serve the visitors. And with us in the tourism industry, we certainly have a lot of that. And they're going to be, you know, needing to use plastic utensils if they're coming and dropping off food for one of the, you know, guests staying in a room upstairs. So, you know, yes, it's just more added things that have to be taken into account. And quite honestly, thinking it through like we just did, you know, how does that really make sense? That's a tough thing. The restaurant's going to come back and pick up their silverware. I mean, how does that work? Right.
Fair point.
So, yeah.
How have you seen some restaurants, businesses, hotels, motels, and everybody within the industry try and balance out their budgets, you know, as we move further away from any COVID restrictions and anything and all the some of the financial damage that did to those in the industry? How are they coming out of this and trying to manage through still some tough economic times and, you know, really for the foreseeable future? This could be a long-term thing in 2023 with who knows what's going to happen with the Fed and where things are going to be at with inflation. So how are restaurants and businesses trying to tackle all this right now?
Well, to be honest, it's inspiring because we have so many tenacious survivors out there, and we just have tremendous people who have worked really hard to get where they are, and they're not going to give up easily. And so we saw that if they made it through COVID, they did it because they're able to be flexible. They know how to pivot. They know how to manage challenges, and they are going to persevere. And that's a really cool thing to watch people do, isn't it? So especially, I think, in Jersey, I've said it, I think that we have like such an added level of grit here, and we are very much determined and ambitious, and I love watching people manage to come up with new ways to do business. They're taking advantage of technology. There's so many people out there who have tried to fill those voids with their smarts and come up with great new ways to offer technology to carry us through, and that's wonderful. So a lot of businesses, a lot of the restaurants specifically, they're having to learn a lot of technology while they're still trying to manage budgets and greet guests and deal with all of the things that happen. It's a constantly moving, never stopping business. So it's inspiring in a way, but then it's also when I see something like this come up with the latest plastics bill, it just kind of breaks my heart, to be honest, because it's like, how many times do they have to? So that's what we're here for. You know, I'm sitting here right across the street from the State House right now. I can see the beautiful gold dome. We walk across the street, we testify, and that's a great empowering thing to be able to speak for the industry and to be there to have discussions. It's not always a vote. It's sometimes a hearing. It's sometimes a meeting with the legislators. We're in this every day, as far as actions and discussions to try to work through things and educate the legislators, because it may not be their specialty. They may not be experts at running a business. Most of the time, they're very receptive. And I find that to be rewarding to have those conversations and educate.
Talking with Dana Lancelotti, president of the New Jersey Restaurant and Hospitality Association this morning. One of the things we talked about on a past show, Dana, was just the price of food and everything, and maybe that increases the price of certain meals on a menu. Are you finding that a lot of restaurants are still trying to figure out ways to balance that with getting the supplies they need, getting the food they need to make certain foods, and either eliminating things off the menu or keeping them on the menu but raising the price, or trying to find that tough balance, I guess, between having something on their menu, especially if it's a favorite or something that people really like, and giving it a decent price to where they can make a profit, but also that people would want to come in and still, you know, order it.
Yeah, it was such a big thing during throughout that whole time of, and then the aftermath of COVID. So many things were featured items that people loved, that they would come into the restaurant specifically to get that certain entree, was just not available unless they wanted to spend $45 for that one entree. In some cases, it was that ridiculous when it came to like scallops and certain types of meats and foods. So yeah, they're used to that. We do have a study that was actually done. And as of December, the results were that 76% of the restaurants increased their menu prices, and 55% of the restaurants reduced hours of operation on days that they were open. 26% closed on days that would normally be open. And I still see that. I still see, you know, and that was December. Time is moving so fast. I would imagine that's still going to be the case in the summer, even if it is a matter of easing into the summer and seeing how much they can handle based on the labor. So right now they're going to be doing a lot of, you know, shifting and trying to figure out as they're able to see what the flow of labor is going to be, because it's really very early still, to be honest. I've talked to some of the boardwalk areas already, and they said to me, you know, I can't even say for sure whether we're going to have a good summer with the labor situation or not yet. It's too early to tell. However, I'm sure, you know, last year we were in a much better shape than we were the year before, even with the J-1 visa students that come across from Europe to work on our shoreline. We had a lot more visas that were able to come through last year. So being able to replenish that whole system that works so well for us, with those kids coming over and experiencing our culture while they also work here in the summertime, that's definitely on a comeback, and that's very necessary to fulfill the needs of our tourism industry, for sure.
And to touch on that point as well, I mean, with more visas getting accepted, with more coming over, do you think that could be a boost? And do you think that, I guess, the businesses, boardwalk businesses or others that especially thrive with the extra help in the summer, will be able to afford bringing on the extra people to their staffs to be able to work, given the uncertainty of the economy?
Well, I think, you know, to be honest, I think that the boardwalk areas, the beach areas are going to be fine. I think that we are, you know, that we did really well last year. You guys were booming out there in Ocean and Monmouth as far as the beach business and everything was concerned. That's great. And they will do what they have to do. And I think that across the state, there are going to be issues in different pockets of areas, you know, depending on the time of year.
Dana, I want to talk more about what's going on with the industry right now, but have to head for a quick break on Short Time. Can you stay around?
Yes, I can.
There we go. The champ is here. Dana Lancelotti on for the third time on Short Time, president of the New Jersey Restaurant and Hospitality Association. More Short Time with Vin and Dave right after this on 94.3 The Point.
Hi, this is Christy Pierce Rampone, former U.S. women's soccer team captain, Olympic gold medalist, World Cup champion, and Point Borough High School alum, and you're listening to Shore Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. Tune in for some real conversation with Dave and Vin. You don't want to miss this.
Whether you're in the early stages of investing, getting ready to retire, or planning your estate, you need a financial planner who will guide you on a clear path with honesty and transparency. Shoreline Wealth Management provides clarity through the complexity, with offices in Manchester and Manahawkin. Shoreline Wealth Management is your financial anchor. Visit shorelinewealth.com for more information and start your financial journey with comfort and security today. Shorelinewealth.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Hey, this is UFC championship fighter and Toms River High School East alumni Frankie Edgar, and you're listening to Short Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. Dave and Vin, these guys are the buzz.
Welcome back to Short Time with Vin and Dave. Vin Avenue, Dave Crossan, and Dana Lancelotti, our guest this morning, president of the New Jersey Restaurant and Hospitality Association. We started our conversation by discussing a odd rule with the introduced legislation of possibly banning plastic utensils and certain condiments like ketchup packets from restaurants. So debate that amongst yourselves. It's certainly taking place in a lot of circles. But we were also talking a little bit about the economy here. And as we head through spring and into summer, trying to look ahead, the excitement of outdoor dining and eating and going to businesses and having fun and thriving, especially at the Jersey Shore and Monmouth and Ocean counties, and you know certainly a little further south of where we're at in Atlantic and Cape May counties as well. Again, we touched on it in the earlier part of our conversation, Dana, but given where things are at right now with the economy, pending inflation, with what could or couldn't happen, and certainly the daily occurrences on Wall Street and everything else as well. How can restaurants and businesses prepare for the outdoor season, the warm weather in the spring, and then certainly in the summer with, okay, here's what we should do now, but here's what we should maybe hold back on. Should they be approaching with cautious optimism?
I would say yes, always be optimistic. I think that we're in a position right now where we're moving forward ahead enough that, you know, people are ready to just try to go back to a sense of normalcy and look at it that way and plan it that way. I think that there are things that have come into play that we didn't have necessarily on the radar as much, which is the outdoor dining. And I think those who have converted to the ability to use the outdoor dining and take advantage of that are, you know, some people have really gone, you know, they've gone as far as building decks and building outdoor space in addition to being able to use the street or use the sidewalk or use the parking lot, the parklets, the streeteries, these new words that we now have in our vocabulary. It's pretty cool. And I think that's great. And I think it helps the energy on a day like this when we see, you know, we've had some really nice weather pop up. You know, this is certainly that time of year when, oh my goodness, we see flowers blooming and we know, wow, it really is, it's that time. And everybody kind of gets this feeling of that's uplifting, looking forward to that. And I think thinking about going back to the outdoor dining again is going to be sort of it's a nice perk. It's a new thing that we know we'll find more of than we used to. And that's awesome. So any of the restaurants who were able to make that work, once again, it sometimes takes extra labor to make that work, unless in some cases the restaurants were closing the indoors and only opening the outdoors and stuff because they only had enough staff. So
right.
They'll work all that out. They'll make that work. But those who want to participate in that again, you know, they're certainly going to have to be, they're going to have budgets ready to be able to add tents and tables and things like that. So, you know, there's that. You know, this is, hey, we're Jersey and we're going to keep innovating and pivoting and doing whatever we need to do to accept the travelers and do it with a smile. So I know everyone's excited about the tourism industry and the tourism time of year that we get to look forward to every summer.
Absolutely. It's always great play. Always a great time of year, great restaurants and different things to do outdoors. And even on a rainy day, there's different things to do indoors as well. So, I mean, it's always a fun time, summertime at the Jersey Shore.
All year.
That's a good point, too. Definitely some things to do in the, you know, in the fall and winter as well. And plenty of great food to enjoy as well.
Oh, my gosh.
But give where things are at right now. I mean, I guess coming off the pandemic, I should say people were looking forward to the summer season. I imagine restaurants, hotels, businesses, and everybody like, all right, you know, the Jersey Shore, Monmouth and Ocean County, we usually do well in the summer. People want to go out and eat and go on rides and go to do different things outdoors. So, you know, coming into 21 and then 22, I feel like things got a little bit better. Do you feel like there's where are things at, rather, as here we are in 2023, where do you feel like most restaurants and businesses and everybody are in a position where they're looking forward to the warm weather, spring and summer seasons to bounce back or stay afloat, or like, hey, we're in a good spot and the summer will be an opportunity for us to really kind of build things back to where maybe they were 3-4 years ago?
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about Jersey is when we have this big giant area, the coastline, the four counties there that get such an influx in the summertime, and many of the businesses are actually completely thriving on summer alone. And then the rest of the year, you know, they're counting on the summer to make their annual revenue that they need, right? So it's interesting because I think that COVID got a lot of people to move around the state more. I really think we've always said that we need people to understand that New Jersey has tourism all around the state in all different regions and fantastic diverse landscapes to enjoy and culinary adventures all over the state, you know. And I really think that COVID forced people to do the local travel. And I think that that's going to continue. So I feel like more people who are local, who do live here, not traveling in to go to the shore necessarily, but live here, they may be thinking about, where am I going to go? What part of Jersey do I want to explore when the weather gets nicer? And, you know, let me go up and see, you know, the mountain areas, and let me go visit some of the lakes and the farmland. And, you know, I cannot get over how many downtowns there are in this state that are so strikingly cool and just enriching with their history and the culture and the architecture and stuff in many places. It's really, I can't say enough. Like, I know I've spent a lot of years being a cheerleader for New Jersey, but the more we're forced to get out of our box and go and look at other places that we've never been, that's just so fun. And the fact that you can do it right in your own state. So we're poised to be successful in even new ways in this summer, I think, because I think that people have become a little more curious. And I think we're so tired and so fed up with being locked in a place. You know, if we know what that was like, we were locked in the house, we were locked, you know, away from people. I think that there's even more of a, you know, of a desire to never go back to that.
Right.
And I think that certainly helps to drive business around, you know, and move people through to different areas and drive business into places that maybe weren't seeing as much business in the summer. Maybe some of the mainland areas will see more business this summer.
What are some of the things that you would recommend to restaurants, businesses, and then hotels, motels, everybody within the industry to kind of get working on right now here in the spring, you know, with the temperature still going up and down? You figure in the next couple of weeks, things will consistently be temperature-wise maybe in the 60s, close to 70, and then certainly once we roll into May and everything. But what are some things that restaurants, businesses, and hotels, everybody in the industry should be doing in the springtime to say, okay, hey, you know what, the warm weather's coming, it'll be here soon, then the summer, here's what we need to do to prepare for the bigger crowds, here's what we need to do to prepare for maybe the uncertainty of the financial world and inflation and economics. How do those in the industry put together a good game plan? What should they be doing right now to make sure that they could be as successful as possible this summer?
Well, for one thing, I will say that we definitely need more funding for the industry. So in order to get support from our own state and our legislators, we need to have everyone, the businesses, the communities, they need to give a call to their local district legislators, because it's really the voices of the people that drive the way that these bills and things that pop up move. And I think that people a lot of times underestimate the power that they have individually, and then the power of bringing groups together. So don't hesitate to reach out to your legislators. We're saying this every day because there are so many things right now, the liquor license reform, things like that, that are going to tremendously impact the future of our state and the businesses, the small businesses, the people who are needing assistance, who are needing funding. We have the World Cup coming in 2026, mm-hmm. which is not that far away.
Yeah.
So, you know, we think it's like, oh, wow, it's way out there. No, it's going to come before you know it. And what has to happen now is preparations to, with that in mind down the road and everything else that we need right now and in the seasons that come between us and that World Cup, we need to have the hotels and the tourism industry and the restaurants, we need them funded. We need to use some of the money that's at the state still from the ARPA funds and things like that that we received to help businesses. That money needs to go out now to help those businesses, not in a year, not in 2 years. It needs to happen now because we need to rebuild the travel. Although we do have a lot of tourism travel, we still have not come back fully with entertainment, sports, large expos, conferences, you know, business travel. There are a lot of things that we've lost that have not recouped yet. We came back to about a $37 billion impact on the state, tourism is, as of the last study. The last study that we have reading on is 2021. We're still waiting for 2022. And so the numbers dropped from $46 billion before COVID to $29 billion in 2020. And then in 2021, the numbers were at $37 billion. So we're creeping back up to that $46 billion number, but we are still behind as far as our tourism revenue, the economic impact on the state. So the more that people open their voices and reach out to their legislators, the better, to let them know that we need support.
And it sounds like funding is a big part of that. So restaurants, business owners, those who work in the industry or even outside the industry who want to help support, is it with funding being one of the issues, what are the biggest issues along with funding that those in the industry that you're asking for those in the legislature in Trenton to really work on? Is it putting together any legislation that would provide that additional funding that restaurants and businesses need to survive and thrive, or anything else to say, hey, listen, those with restaurants and businesses and hotels, here's what they need right now to do well, to not just do well, but to really try and grow and expand so that they don't have to look over their shoulder or look too tightly at their books and figure out, okay, what can we afford and not afford?
Well, it does go back to what we started with. We really need to stop intercepting and putting out policies and regulations that squeeze them too tight and make them worry about every move they make and what kind of fines they're going to be looking at. I mean, we don't want our small businesses to have to live in fear. We want them to feel that they are lifted and they are supported and they are appreciated, and that we celebrate small business in this state, and that we want our customers to feel that they're able to be cared for because the restaurants and the hotels and the tourism destinations have been appreciated and cared for by the state and our local, you know, our local communities. And, you know, this industry does a tremendous amount for the community itself. How many restaurants are doing fundraisers for your local sport, you know, for the kids that you know who need money to support their sport events? I mean, it's incredible how much this industry contributes. And then I feel like this industry, and truthfully in many ways, this industry suffered so much more than even, you know, other industries across the board through this past, I want to say, challenge. Like, I hate to bring up the pandemic again, but you know, we're still moving forward, like you said, and everything should be positive moving forward. We should have that attitude. But then there are things that can be done through the state government, the state legislature. We should be able to get more funding and more support directly through money. People do need money in order to have strength to accommodate the needs that they have. And a lot of the industry didn't get what they, you know, the hotel industry didn't have any funding that was geared toward hotels specifically. And they're still suffering from, you know, needing housekeepers. And yet a bill popped up that said that there should be a mandate that housekeeping should have to happen in the guest rooms every single day.
That's right.
Whether or not the guests wanted it and whether or not they were staying for a week. Why would you put that on the industry when they're in a position where they're scrambling to find enough housekeepers to keep up and they're closing rooms because they don't have enough housekeeping, so they want to only fill the rooms. So it doesn't make any sense. So, you know, it's an education that needs to happen. So voicing the story of your business and talking to the legislators is a huge help. And the more people who do that, the better, because everyone just needs to learn what everyone else, you know, needs and what their struggles are.
And along those lines, how can those in the industry or those restaurant owners, business owners, hotel owners, and everybody that are already part of the industry and with the New Jersey Restaurant Hospitality Association continue to grow their voice? And for those who haven't yet signed up for anything or are a part of it, how can they get involved with the New Jersey Restaurant Hospitality Association and joining your team and fighting for what they need and addressing any challenges that are out there right now?
Absolutely. So first of all, we're here all the time. And so if anybody wants to go to njrha.org, they can search around. They can find a lot of information. They can reach out to us directly. Our emails are there. They can call us. But we also do legislative roundtables all around the state. We just did one in District 13 in Seabright.
Ah, there you go.
We move all around the state and we host it at a restaurant or a hotel. We invite the local industry businesses such as hotels, restaurants, venues, whoever's in the area is welcome to come. You certainly don't have to be a member of our association to participate. And we bring the district legislators, so the senator, the assemblyman, and they come to the table and the businesses come to the table and we just have everyone in conversation. We explain what's going on with legislation and the guests are able to ask their public officials what they need, talk about issues and challenges. And it's a wonderful thing to see that happen. Communication is huge. Education is huge, as I've said. So anyone who's interested in participating in those or any of the other resources that we have, the assistance, we're supporting workforce development through our Education Foundation and our culinary students. We have a whole culinary curriculum in schools around the state, training and certifying kids as in culinary arts and management so that they can be future restaurateurs themselves. So there's a lot going on over here at our association, and we'd love to tell people about it anytime they want to give us a call and learn about what we have to offer.
We've certainly discussed a lot of the challenges that those in the industry are facing, and certainly the realness of everything as well, whether it's, I guess, got that positive or negative connotation to it. But as we close up here, Dana, what are some of the things that have been going well so far in 2023? Maybe whether it's a carryover from 22 or some new things that are coming up in 2023, things that are really helping restaurants and businesses and hotels do well so far this year, and some things where you're seeing some momentum where you're like, all right, this is going to be a pretty good year for a lot of people and a lot of businesses.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the businesses feel a little better. I think they're it's not that they don't have challenges, but they don't feel like COVID is looming, hopefully, right? So we hope that people will be healthy. We hope that we will be able to move forward full speed ahead and do things more status quo, more like, you know, a feeling of normalcy. I think that there's a level of appreciation. I think that people feel, you know, they think back to when things were the way they were, and then they're like, oh my gosh, I am so happy. These restaurant owners who are, you know, the operators who are like, I don't have to go bus tables today, but I can talk to my customers and I can enjoy, you know, seeing smiling faces again. And I think that people just really appreciate that opportunity to gather. And I think that we may have a, you know, a newfound respect and excitement about just having that freedom to get together, to enjoy our environment, to enjoy New Jersey, visit the shore, visit the restaurants, stay in a hotel in New Jersey. Why not? You know?
Yeah.
and just to, you know, go to the festivals. We're bringing back festivals. That's you know, a wonderful thing to see, isn't it?
Absolutely. No, I love to see. Well, I mean, any time of the year, businesses, restaurants, and everybody survive and, you know, do really well. But I also love seeing all the different events that are happening indoors, outdoors, the new foods, all the great mom and pop shops and the local restaurants that are here at the Jersey Shore and across New Jersey that are popping up more so, you know, nowadays, and that they're doing well, you know, that we could help out our family and friends and those in our community by just simply going out there and supporting them by dining at their restaurant or going to their business and having some fun and, you know, and spreading the word. And I think, you know, we could all play a role, certainly, in helping everybody in the industry.
Absolutely. Every day. Support your local businesses.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. No, all about that. And we got a lot of great ones here in Monmouth and Ocean.
Yeah, I know. I know Town Square is great at supporting everybody around them, for sure.
Appreciate you coming on this morning, Dana, and talking about the state of the industry and how things are going and what those in the industry can be doing and what we could all be doing as well to help those in Monmouth and Ocean and across New Jersey this year.
Thank you, Vin. Thanks for always being on top of everything. And it's great to speak to you.
My pleasure. This third time's a charm, Dana. So we'll have to have we'll set up a fourth appearance at some point.
Yeah, don't let me fall behind. I want to be ahead. Keep me on top of this.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks, Vin.
You got it, Dana. Thanks again. More
Take
short
care.
Time.
Great spring and summer.
Yes, you as well. More short time with Vin and Dave right after this on 94.3 The Point.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is comedian Big D Potato. How long out of wait? For you to tune in to Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point.
Whether you're in the early stages of investing, getting ready to retire, or planning your estate, you need a financial planner who will guide you on a clear path with honesty and transparency. Shoreline Wealth Management provides clarity through the complexity with offices in Manchester and Manahawkin. Shoreline Wealth Management is your financial anchor. Visit shorelinewealth.com for more information and start your financial journey with comfort and security today. Shorelinewealth.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Hi, this is high performance executive coach Dana Cavalia and former director of strength and conditioning for the New York Yankees. And you're listening to Shore Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. It's always great to hang with champions, and these two guys are champions. Hi, this is high performance executive coach Dana Cavalia and former director of strength and conditioning for the New York Yankees. And you're listening to Shore Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. It's always great to hang with champions, and these two guys are champions.
Welcome back to Short Time with Vin and Dave, Vin Avenue, Dave Cross, and with you. Dana Lancelotti just joined us. She is the president and CEO of the New Jersey Restaurant and Hospitality Association. But before we get to some of what she discussed with us, Dave and I want to continue our baseball debate here that we started in the beginning of the show.
Yes.
In case you missed it, I said that Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Grucco are the best TV, local TV, play-by-play and announcing crew on TV in Major League Baseball.
And it turned out Vin was wrong,
like it's,
so well, there you go.
Listen, I was looking for a good Dwayne Kuiper call. This was his call of Barry Bonds breaking the home run mark.
Deals. And Bonds hits one high. Hits it deep. It is out of here.
Not bad.
56.
Come on.
Not bad.
That's good stuff right there.
It is good stuff. But... Well, anyway, it's fine. How about that?
Oh, and you were asking, so I was looking, I've called some home runs. I called one home run while I was broadcasting with the Jersey Shore Blue Claws for a few games last year, filling in, and then some others with Atlanta Cape Community College for BFA Sports. This was a call, because the Blue Claws were playing the Brooklyn Cyclones, the high affiliate of your New York
there
Mets.
There you go.
Blue Claws, of course, the high affiliate for the Phillies. Warren Saunders, who was a prospect for the Cyclones at the time, hit a home run, and it was in the middle of while I was interviewing somebody from David's Dream Believe Cancer Foundation, and I had to hold on, we got something
moment,
happening
please.
Here.
Just a moment.
So this was a cut up part of it.
That one driven into left field, and goodbye. A solo home run for Warren Saunders, and Brooklyn's on the board. They now trail 4-1.
It's a good, strong
send-off. Saunders took
send-off.
The pitch from Brown, just a fastball up in the zone, and drove it onto the berm and left.
Okay. I like it. So that's strong. Stuff. Very good, Vin.
So, I try. You know, biggest thing to go with the moment, I mean, you could think in your head about maybe how you want to go about certain calls, but really, for me, and until it happens, until you're in the moment. Like somebody for, I was calling a game a couple weeks ago, Atlantic Cape Community College was playing somebody, and they just kind of ripped a ball down the left field line. I was like, down the left field line and fouled. So it just kind of, just go with the flow.
It wasn't behind the bag.
that did happen. Like it was
really?
Like one of the, well, sort of, not exactly like the Bill Buckner, but there was this one call where a kid was trying to field it with the glove and it went right by his legs.
Did you give it the behind the bag?
Almost. Let's see if I could find it real quick. But yeah, it was just kind of, let's see, here we go.
All right.
Third, nobody out, pitch. Grounded, throw into right field, through the legs of the first baseman. That'll score a pair. It is 4-2 Buccaneers on the RBI single for Solinsky.
There you go. I like that. Good call.
So
you notice it's strong and it gets to the point.
Yeah.
You don't want too much. You know what I mean? It's just enough. I like it. Well done, buddy. Well done.
I try. But yeah.
What a great
no,
show, by the way, today.
What's that?
Having Dana. What a great show we've had today.
Listen, Dana is our first third-time guest.
Mm-hmm.
Show 61 here, and Dana is the champ.
Yes, she wins.
Of course, no, it's always a timely topic, and I always love talking to Dana, president of the New Jersey Restaurant and Hospitality Association. But, you know, as we're going through spring here, looking at the summer, there's been incredibly painful economic times and finances for a lot of individuals, businesses, restaurants, hotels, and everything else, trying to figure out what's going on with the Fed and Jerome Powell and bank closings across the country.
There's a lot going on, right?
It's like, all right, what do I have to do to make ends meet here?
Right, exactly.
Either as an individual, for family, for businesses, restaurants. There's a lot of financial challenges right now for a lot of people. So you could trying to hang your hat on the fact that the Jersey Shore, Monmouth, and Ocean County does pretty well. Tourism is a big part of the local economy here.
Correct.
And you hope that this summer in 23, another year, you know, past pandemic restrictions and everything, and people feeling a little bit more comfortable, and people coming to Monmouth and Ocean counties more, that it'll help out the restaurants and hotels and businesses and everybody within the industry this summer here at the Jersey Shore, so that they can not only, you know, make ends meet and, you know, reach that baseline, but go well above and beyond that to survive and thrive and do well and continue to bring in business, to bring in more employees, to help bring in more employees, to be there for people who are coming to dine at their restaurants or go to their businesses and so on and so forth. So hopefully things work out and that everybody coming to the Jersey Shore or staying at the Jersey Shore and visiting these restaurants and businesses this summer will help out this industry because it's needed. But you know what? We have a lot of great restaurants and businesses here in Monmouth and Ocean County.
Without a doubt.
I mean, you should, you know, support them year round. But you hope that by the time, you know, Memorial Day and everything rolls around, that it'll be a fantastic 2023 summer for all these restaurants and businesses, Dave.
Well, you bring up a great point. I mean, with everything going on, it is very challenging for people to take trips to get away. The good thing is that we have everything here. You know, for people that were considering maybe going further away, different locations, well, now hop in the car. If you're in North Jersey, you're down to the shore area in an hour. And we have so much to do, whether it's, you know, it could be a day trip or staying over at local accommodations. There's so much that can be done to, you know, different things, not just the beach. We talk about the parks, different things that people can do that, you know, my hope is, you know, people still do want to get away. And here we have it all. Come on down, make it a day trip. And if you can stay over, great. If not, you know, that's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
But to support the local businesses and everything that we have in the area.
So, yeah, do what you can. Listen, there's some time, but it helps. You know, the better these restaurants and businesses and these hotels do, it helps out our local economy here in Monmouth and Ocean counties.
And the
provides
fuel prices
more jobs
have,
and everything too.
Not that gas prices are low, but they have come down, you know, considering last year what we were talking about. But it has helped, you know. So with that being said, you know, I think everything that we talked about with Dana and all the opportunities and places to go and for people to enjoy themselves, we have it all here.
So see what you could do to help out, you know, local restaurants. I mean, always support local restaurants, businesses, hotels. And listen, it's not just, oh, hey, well, I live in Ocean Monmouth County. What do I need to stay in a hotel for? Banquets, weddings,
right,
different celebrations. There's, you know, because a lot of them have
quick little getaways,
banquet rooms, yeah, and everything. Or, yeah, to that point,
nice
too.
Nice little,
you know,
weekend
what?
Away.
Need to, maybe you're living Northern Monmouth and you want to spend some time on Long Beach Island.
There you go.
You know, maybe it's a weekend, you know, where you just want
to, during the week. Maybe you, yeah, just want to get away during the week.
Absolutely. So do what you can. And as we, you know, get closer to summer, do what you can to support restaurants and businesses.
You know it.
And if you're among those in the Restaurant and Hospitality Association, reach out to Dana Lancelotti and her team and, tell them what challenges you're facing, what concerns you have, and join in their effort, too, to help out others in the, you know, think of it like a team effort here. You know,
we're
sure,
all in this together.
Everybody wants to do well, restaurants, hotels, businesses this spring and this summer. So see what you can do. Reach out to Dana Lancelotti and her team at the New Jersey Restaurant and Hospitality Association, and let's have a fun spring and summer season together here in Ocean and Monmouth.
I'm excited.
Dave, there's a lot of great restaurants.
Right around
and you know
the corner.
What? On a nice day in the spring or summer, you got a nice breeze, nothing too heavy, but it kind of carries that smell of all the great food. You're at the boardwalk or more inland somewhere, like, oh, man, that smells good.
It's good stuff.
So do what you can. Support. We got another great show coming up next Sunday, Dave. We're rocking and rolling here. We got some good ones coming up in April. As next Sunday, things may bring on some animals.
There you go, as they should.
I mean, you know, we're not going to go full Animal House style, but, you know, something close to that.
Yeah, just a little bit. A little something. Why not?
We're bringing on the animals next Sunday. We got a great week ahead, of course, and a great show next Sunday as well. So, Dave, have a great Sunday.
You
great
too.
Week ahead.
And thank you for the listeners, as always.
Get ready for those lions, tigers, and beers.
There. Oh, my. Okay, mm-hmm. Buddy.
Have a great week ahead, everybody. We'll talk to you next Sunday. More Short Time with Vin and Dave a week from now. 94.3 The Point. Take care.
Hi, this is Christy Pierce Rampone, former U.S. women's soccer team captain, Olympic gold medalist, World Cup champion, and Point Borough High School alum. And you're listening to Short Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. Tune in for some real conversation with Dave and Vin. You don't want to miss this.
Hey, this is UFC championship fighter and Toms River High School East alumni Frankie Edgar, and you're listening to Short Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. Dave and Vin, these guys are the buzz.
Whether you're in the early stages of investing, getting ready to retire, or planning your estate, you need a financial planner who will guide you on a clear path with honesty and transparency. Shoreline Wealth Management understands that you're more than your money, and they strive to help you realize your best life as they align your finances with your goals. Best of all, Shoreline's straightforward approach will include you in the process. Shoreline Wealth Management is your financial anchor, committed to helping you weather life's storms. Visit shorelinewealth.com for more information today. Shorelinewealth.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC.